Once upon a time, salmon and steelhead swam over 1,000 miles upriver to the headwaters of the mighty Columbia River there at the foot of the Rockies in British Columbia. Those epic migrations ended in 1938 with the construction of Grand Coulee Dam. This week, tribes from both sides of the U.S.-Canada border, along with scientists and policymakers, are meeting in Spokane to figure out how Columbia River fish could be restored to their entire historical range. Correspondent Tom Bonsi reports, the idea draws passionate supporters, but has unknown costs that you might be asked to help pay.
Salmon and steelhead have been absent from the upper Columbia River for 75 years, but tribes on both sides of the border still miss the fish. Colville tribal member D.R. Michel senses an opportunity, as he puts it, to correct a lot of wrongs.
The tribes never surrendered to the loss of salmon. I mean, I think, you know, you see old photos of the chief standing on the reservation side looking down on the project with all of those promises of, you know, we'll take care of you, you'll have your fish, blah, 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 we'll put in hatcheries, you know, none of that stuff ever really happened.
Tribes are taking the lead to examine options for restoring migratory fish to the upper Columbia River. 5 dams built without fish ladders now stand in the way, 2 in Washington and 3 in Canada. The original hurdle is here.
So at this point, you're at the top of Grand Coulee Dam. You're looking down the face of the spillway.
The Bureau of Reclamation's Lynn Brower leads a tour for tribal leaders and biologists from British Columbia and the American Northwest.
It's approximately 350 feet to the water below.
Nobody has built a fish ladder on a dam this high. That's according to tribal biologist Will Warnock of Cranbrook, B.C.
It would be going into uncharted waters for building that kind of passage facility. But there's other things you can do to get salmon past dams this high, though. You can trap them and then manually truck them around the dam.
That's one idea. An elevator actually is another. A long fish ladder would be very expensive and a last resort, if tried at all. Who would pay for this? Nearly all of us, as D.R. Michel sees it. He directs the Upper Columbia United Tribes of North Idaho and Eastern Washington.
Potentially a shared cost between ratepayers, the federal government, and farmers, the irrigators, some of the folks who benefit directly from use of this water and what comes out of this dam should help pay for that also.
The unknown costs of reintroduction could add up, and that worries Scott Corwin. He represents public utilities who get electricity from Columbia River dams.
There's just a lot of questions about whether that's even possible and how it would impact other species. And so, we have a lot of questions.
The U.S. and Canada are about to open negotiations to renew the 50-year-old Columbia River Treaty. That's the forum chosen by fish advocates to advance their idea. But last week, British Columbia's government declared it doesn't want to discuss it at the treaty talks. Provincial Energy Minister Bill Bennett also said ratepayers of BC Hydro should not have to pay more for fish passage. Tim Personius is Deputy Regional Director of the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. Speaking from Boise, he says Canada's position could be a problem.
You know, the position of the United States is that we shouldn't move forward without Canada participating. I think that's a good idea.
Personius says it looks like a lot of the spawning habitat for upper Columbia River fish is in Canada. He says it wouldn't make a lot of sense for the United States to spend millions or billions of dollars on fish passage only to have the salmon run to British Columbia and stub their noses on a Canadian dam. I'm Tom Bonsi in Grand Coulee, Washington.